Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Yeah, we got there in the end. If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you, Fight Night Extra, where we bring you all the latest from the world of combat sports. Joining me today, as always, is the great Gareth A. Davis. Coming up on the show, it's a busy one. We're going to discuss the retirement of Amir Khan, the former world champion, following in the footsteps of Kell Brook by hanging up his gloves. We are going to reflect on his career and discuss his impact on British boxing. Huge domestic clash in the light heavyweight division this weekend. Joshua Buatsi takes on Craig Richards. We're going to hear from Joshua Buatsi, the former Olympian, who's been speaking with Gareth. And there's a new pound for pound number one. Alexander Usyk has replaced Canelo in the latest Ring magazine rankings. We'll get stuck into the updated list and give you our own version right here of the world's best pound for pound fighters. Plus, we are going to recap a win for Jermell Charlo, which sees him become an undisputed world champion. I'm going to reflect on a difficult night for Michael Bennen Page at Bellator. Don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Facts are that when the dust settles on this and you look at legacies and who's had the better career and who's fought the better guys and who's done more, the answer's always going to be Amir Khan for me.
It's over! What a win for Craig Spider Richards! He has been waiting patiently and he delivers the performance of his career!
He done his thing in the amateurs. As a professional, I've come in, jumped in deep waters and improved myself time and time again. So that's why I say to myself, as proving myself as a pro, looking at my CV, being in them tough fights, being the underdog, being in them 50-50 fights, but yeah, we're yet to see any fight he's been in where people say, this is a 50-50 fight, I don't think Josh could win this one.
I won round 1, 2, 3, and 5. So, I mean, if you think that besides round 4, clearly was him, you know, and 1, 5, and 2 is clearly me, so... I don't know. I guess people want to can score. You know, that's why judging is the way it is in our sport.
Loads, and I mean loads, to get through over the next, 54 minutes or so. Myself and Gareth A. Davis to try and break down what's happened in boxing, and obviously you just heard there from Logan Storley. Beating Michael Venom Page at Bellator 281. We'll talk about that as well. I do want to kick off, Gareth, with some kind of breaking news here, and that's that Josh Taylor looks like he will stay at £140 rather than move to 147. A lot of people, including Josh himself, said he might go to 147 after that controversial win against Jack Catrall. He will stay at 140 and defend a lot of his belts against Jose Zepeda. What do you make of Josh staying at 140? Looked like he was struggling to make the weight, or that's what we were led to believe anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you have a performance like that, I don't necessarily believe he wasn't making the weight very well, Addy, and a very good afternoon to you on this very beautiful sunny May day when I've been cycling, paddleboarding, just stepped out of the shower, and I'm very excited about this show because there's so much going on. Now, we're also hearing that WBA are taking the title away from Josh Taylor, and then Josh Taylor tweeted that I vacated it. So is he actually undisputed champion at the moment? Not sure he is. I think he's wise to say at 140. I don't think he lives with the very best at welterweight. I think he gets beaten by Errol Spence. I think he gets beaten by Terence Crawford. I think he gets beaten by Jaron Ennis, who was amazing against Custio Clayton at the weekend as well, proving, I think, do you know, I thought Virgil Ortiz was the real coming force alongside the likes of Conor Benn, but I really do think Boots Ennis is the nuts in that division. I really do. I think he showed it again on Saturday night. Mm. I think that is three fights out of five that Josh Taylor has at welterweight he loses, in my view.
Agreed.
You know, because he cannot. He might beat your Danny Garcias. He might beat your Conor Benns. He probably would have beaten your Kell Brooks. That was a good fight for me before Kell decided to retire. But I just don't. I think he likes to get too involved in a scrap to really weather the storm at welterweight. I don't think he's as robust as Terence Crawford. I just don't. But you look on the run he's gone, and I know we're going to talk about the pound for pound list. I do think he belongs up there. But very, very, very interesting news. Very interesting news indeed.
Indeed, it was. Big fights on the weekend. Loads of, so much boxing. I've not caught up with everything. Yeah. It was almost too much. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. I'm complaining about that. But one of the big ones was Jermell Charlo versus Brian Castano, a rematch of that fight, which ended controversially, some say, in a draw at the time. Charlo obviously set out to kind of prove that that was just almost a one-off. And in the end, he did, stopping Castano and then now becoming undisputed in the division, which for me puts him on the pound-for-pound list as well. Good win for Charlo. I think now, personally, he should go up to 160. There are still good fights for him at 154. Tim Zhu is one. But I think it's time now. You clean up a division, go up, and it's what you can do with the big boys at 160.
Yeah, it's a very good call. I think, look, It's a fantastic time for Undisputed. You know, we've got Undisputed at super middleweight with Canelo. We've got, as you say, Jermell Charlo now Undisputed at light middle. I call it light middle. Got Josh Taylor, I think Undisputed at super lightweight or light welterweight. This next weekend or a couple of weekends time, we've got the Undisputed between George Kambosos Jr. and Devin Haney at lightweight. Shakur Stevenson's cleaning up at super featherweight. We may get a heavyweight undisputed unification by the end of the year. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, you can chuck in, you know, Bivol as well. Bivol wants the winner of Smith.
Yeah, exactly. And that's on the way as well. I've got that a note this year. That could happen this year as well at light heavyweight as well. So, you know, boxing's starting to create an age of undisputed champions. And I think this is the thing that the wider world has criticized, the mixed martial arts world has criticized boxing about for a long time, that the world doesn't know who the world champions are. There's like seven or eight divisions out of, I know there's 17, seven or eight divisions here where, weight divisions, where we might have one king in the division, at least for a little while. So boxing's getting its act together, and it's a really good thing to see, if I'm all honest. I don't know about the step up to middleweight yet for Charlo. I just stay there. Mm. I just stay there and just bloody dominate a 154. He's the perfect size for it. He's got everything. That sequel, by the way, with Castaño, a lot of sequels don't live up to their billing.
Yeah.
The trilogy sometimes does, and often does, but that really lived up to great billing. It was a brilliant fight. There were so many great qualities shown by both men. And obviously, Charlo got the definitive finish as well with that 10th round stoppage. Really brilliant performance. I really rate the Charlo brothers. They are something very, very special. And it's great to see him become the undisputed champion, Eddie.
It certainly is. He said after, it's now up to his brother, Jamal. And I'm happy you said Jermell, because that's always confusing for people. But it's now up to Jermell to do his business, because he said Texas is already doing it. He's done it. Errol Spence has done it. Now it's Jermell's time at the end of the year to kind of do his business as well in the 160 division. So we'll see what Jermell Charlo can do. We spoke about Kell Brook announcing his retirement. And we said, look, you're probably going to get a call soon from Amir announcing his. I don't know if the call came, but Amir did announce his retirement a couple of days ago. It's been a fantastic career as well. Look, we're going to wax lyrical about his career a bit later. But just try and summarise it if you can, Gareth, from being a 17-year-old Olympian, winning Olympic silver medals, all those fights at 135, 140, 147, middleweight fight against Canelo. What an amazing career Amir Khan's had.
Yeah, so you just summarised it pretty well yourself there. You know, I've got some lovely quotes from Amir. I looked down the interviews. It was last Friday he announced his retirement, of course. Mm. He had a little press conference yesterday. I wrote about it over the weekend. Had a lot of time to think about it, went over some of the interviews. I'll read out some of the quotes from him that are very salient, very germane about his career. 17-year-old silver medalist against Mario Kindelan, who was a man at the time, brilliant Cuban boxer. His father, Shah, in the Union Jack waistcoat. The first very prominent Pakistani Muslim sportsman in our country. Yeah. And in our community, has done brilliant things. Like you say, he's fought all the way from lightweight all the way up to middleweight. Middleweight was a step too far. Earned huge riches, still stayed relevant for 10 years, even after being a world champion. Hadn't been a world champion for a decade, but still relevant. Fast flashing fists, some of the fastest hands we've ever seen, lightning hand speed, very vulnerable around the whiskers. But also gung-ho warrior spirit. Great legacy inside and outside the ring. Celebrity get me out of here. Yes, he was a mummy's boy. I remember he spent time in the masterful shadow of Manny Pacquiao and Freddie Roach in the wildcard gym. He went to America. He conquered America, which a lot of British boxers haven't been able to, going very close to fighting Floyd Mayweather, but maybe made a few politically wrong moves. As I say, when he went on, I remember doing an interview with him where he said his mother used to, he's a mummy's boy. He's always been a mummy's boy, he said, because my mummy clears the spiders out of my bedroom. And then when we got to see him in the jungle with him disclosing that he didn't know what it was all about, he got to delight the nation, whatever he was doing, eating kangaroos' testicles and climbing through rats' holes and spiders' nests. But everybody saw in 2016 on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, I think as we saw with his wife Farial in that home with the Khans, that he's not got a bad bone in his body. He's a lovely man. The incident with Ian, I can't remember his surname, but Ian and the strawberries when they nicked the strawberries in the jungle had loads of fun. I can't remember. Ian, the comedian, he's been on Talk Sport, I think, Talk Radio. I can't remember his surname, but great, great guy. And it was brilliant. He just had a brilliant career. And you know, unfortunately, he fought Kell Brook too late in his career. He didn't have a lot left. His legs had gone. But legacy, amazing. I'll read out some of the great quotes from him, what he's been through in that career. But yeah, we have to celebrate it. And I do think with Kell announcing it a week earlier and I'm here last Friday, it's the beginning of all those guys, Addy, in the mid-30s now, who will start to call time on their careers. And I'll tell you what, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, all those other guys, you know, they're not far away. They're not far behind. All this Anthony Joshua, I'll box till I'm 40.
Nonsense.
Poppycock.
Nonsense. I'm with you. Dillian White. Chisora should do it now, but Chisora's going to continue. Yeah, all of them.
Dillian White will go on till his late 30s. Now, he'll keep going. He's one of those. He's like Chisora. He'll keep fighting, and they'll keep fighting the youngsters. But we are at a kind of an era changing time, in my view. The paradigm will shift.
It certainly will. We're going to hear. Yeah. You're going to read out some of those Amir Khan quotes a bit later. Finally, we are going to hear from Joshua Boyatzi. We know you spoke with him, but I mean, I love a domestic dust up. I love the big international ones, but sometimes the domestic dust ups, you can't beat them. And the light heavyweight division is probably the deepest division we've got in this country alongside the heavyweights. And we've got two of the best going to duke it out May 21st, O2 Arena this Saturday. Should be a good one. Joshua Boyatzi versus Craig Richards.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's comparisons here, I think, in British boxing history. This reminds me, in some ways, of 11 years ago, 12 years ago, when George Groves and James DeGale met for the British Commonwealth Super Middleweight titles. I know that Craig Richards has fought Dimitri Bivol for a world title last year, but it just reminds me of that kind of snakes and ladders moment, crossroads moment with Joshua Buatsi and Craig Richards. So much on the line that neither of these two men can afford to lose. And both of them are desperate to win. And I think it will create a titanic struggle that will go 12 rounds, that will be a classic, that will really stretch both men. And I am so looking forward to it. I slightly favour Joshua Buatsi. We can go into that a little bit more in a while. But, you know, look at what Craig Richards did. I know it's odious to do this with Dimitri Bivol when he challenged him. You just make those comparisons. You think how good Dimitri Bivol was against Canelo. It just raises the stakes a little bit for Craig, for the Spider a little bit more. Very enticing fight. Two fighters of a series of fights. You and I have banged on about this for probably 6 months, Addy, that should also involve Callum Johnson, Callum Smith, Dan Azeez, Anthony Yard, and also Lyndon Arthur. And of course, young Ben Whitaker, who I spoke to late last week, has just turned pro as well, the silver medalist from the Tokyo Olympics. He'll catch those guys up in 18 months' time. And we are going to see some phenomenal fights at 175 in the UK.
We certainly will. All right, you are listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to be hearing from Joshua Buatsi ahead of his fight, massive fight with Craig Richards this weekend. And we'll get our very own version of the pound-for-pound rankings as well in response to the latest ones by The Ring magazine. But next up, we are going to talk Amir Khan after he confirmed his retirement from boxing.
Too many to count. And on boxing skills to see it through, Vargas holds his arms aloft briefly and embraces Amir Khan. But there can be no doubt about the winner. It has to be Amir.
Yeah, Amir Khan announced his retirement from boxing last week Friday, a career that started way back in 2005, obviously coming off the Athens 2004 Olympics with that silver medal. It's an incredible career, anything, but 2005 to 2022. Although I think it's fair to say, Gareth, the last four or five years, he's been at best, a part-time boxer. But nonetheless, it's still a 17-year pro career. I'm going to put you on the spot, Gareth. Best win, Amir Khan, best win.
I reckon it's between Marcos Maidana and Devin Alexander.
Okay.
In my view.
Okay.
Certainly the best performance was Devin Alexander.
Agreed. Next one. Best version of Amir Khan. That version as a welterweight against Devin Alexander and Louis Collazo, or the version of Amir Khan that beat Marcus Maidana, Zab Judah, and I thought really beat Lamont Peterson as well. So two versions, one at 140 and one at 147. What's the best version of Amir Khan?
That early version.
Yeah.
But he was faultless against Devin Alexander that night. That was the weird thing. But the flashing lightning fists that destroyed, that won his light welterweight title. And then he went on that run all the way up to Zab Judah. And I remember that in the Mandalay Bay event, where he was very dirty against Zab Judah that night.
The low blows, was it?
And what he came through against Marcos Maidana. And then he went into... I agree, he beat Lamont Peterson by a round. There's no question about it. He was very unlucky. But they went into Peterson's hometown, where he's a hero, where he brought his brother and his sister up on the back of Greyhound buses. And, like, weird things happen in boxing. He got found out a little bit by Danny Garcia, and his chin was starting to go a little bit by then. People had worked out to punch with him. And I think the big thing with Amir is that around that time, he didn't begin to change defensively, never really learned to fight off the ropes. And because he had this style where he could not go backwards. He was just about all out aggression and war and excitement, you know, and he couldn't fight any other way. And that was him. It was in him, the Pathan warrior within him from that heritage in Pakistan, you know, from Lahore, where his family's from. It's just in him.
You are correct.
Fight, die, you know.
It's so correct. You just made me kind of just try and go through my memory bank. I don't think I've ever seen Khan fight on the back foot. Like, just can't do it. Fight off the ropes. It's not him. It's only one way, and that one way is forward. I was speaking to Tony Bellew about it, and Tony Bellew, who was part of the Team GB and Team England with Amir Khan way back in the day. He says he just remembers Amir Khan as being the fastest thing he's ever seen. He didn't even say boxer, just thing. Like, I've never seen hand speed that quick in my life.
Mm, and you know who makes similar shapes? Katie Taylor makes very similar shapes when she fights, you know. Mm. It's quite interesting. And you've got to think about it. I'm going to take you back before his pro career as well. You know, he had those two or three years at 16, 17 when he won the Junior Olympic Games in 2003, the European Student Games in 2004, the World Junior Championships in Jeju in at lightweight in 2004 as well. And if you, not a lot of people remember this. When he was 17, the GB team did not want to pick him to go to Athens. And he was going to go and box for Pakistan for his opportunity to box the Olympics. If you remember, his brother Haroon did box for Pakistan at the Olympics. So, you know, we got him. We got him and he did amazing things. You know, 40 fights, 34 wins. I always said Amir would have about 30 wins and 6 losses because that was his style. He made millions and millions of pounds. He's a megastar. He crossed over into several communities. He's got a massive following in I call it the subcontinent. I don't know if you're meant to call it that anymore, but India and Pakistan and in the Middle East. He's got a massive following. He's very well known in America. He's done brilliant charity work. Like I said, I mean, there's a couple of quotes here I've got from Amir. I went through them when I wrote a tribute to his career last week for the Telegraph. And he said, and this is really interesting, he said, you get hate the day you become famous. The day you don't get hate, you're finished. I've been getting hate from the day I made it into the newspapers for the first time. He told me this a couple of years ago. The day I won the Olympic medal, it started. I never let it get to me. And I never think it's a religious or a colour thing. I just go with the flow. Because if you go to any of my fights, and I'm saying this as Amir's words, most of the people who buy my tickets are British and white. I respect that. I live in a world where there's a lot of racial issues, but in England, I get looked after and have a great relationship with English people. That, for me, is a part of Amir Khan's legacy. You know, I wouldn't have written it that way, but from his perspective, it's absolutely amazing. And here's the other one that I'll read to you. I never put a date on retiring, but I always said I wanted to retire at 28.
Oh, wow.
But honestly, it's difficult when you're paid so well. I love the sport. It's a great lifestyle and I'll miss it. I'm thinking when I leave the game, I'm going to miss coming to training camps, living this peaceful life, training hard and getting in shape. And also, I want my children, he later said, I want them to see me as a world champion. He never achieved that after his children were born. But I just think it's a life well lived he's had.
Yeah.
And he's only 35, you know?
And he does so much outside of boxing, which I always think is important for sports stars in general. Like, those ones that I feel like might struggle are ones that just don't have nothing apart from the sport they do. As Amir Khan does so much. You mentioned TV shows with his wife. He does so much charity work as well. So Amir Khan will be okay. He will. Let's hear from Conor Benn, who was full of praise and respect for both Khel Brook and Amir Khan and their decision to retire. And that's their careers as a whole.
Listen, I was the only fight there for them both if they did want to fight.
Correct.
But, you know, people saying, oh, they're ducking me and all that. And they're not ducking me. Maybe they don't want to fight me, yeah, but they're not ducking me. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not going to go around and claim like, oh yeah, nah, they're ducking me. It's not nothing like that. But would they want to fight me now? They have everything to lose and not really much to gain. Mm. You know, so listen, they've achieved everything they wanted to in the sport of boxing. Every young fighter can dream of achieving. So listen, take my hats off to them. And, you know, they're the best of this era in terms of their era of British welterweight boxing.
Yeah, look, Conor Benn giving his respect, speaking to Gareth and Barry Jones on Saturday night. And look, nice for him to give his respect as well, because he desperately wanted the Khel Brook fight, not so much the Amir Khan fight. I was doing that ring interview and it was just, I don't know why they asked Amir Khan to come in the ring. It was quite strange, but he definitely wanted the Khel Brook fight. Yeah, very strange. I was like, what are they doing? You put me on the spot here. This is silly. But he definitely wanted the Khel Brook fight. But look, that's their era. He has to start his own journey and he needs the big fights. So I think even Amir Khan mentioned Conor Benn, didn't he, recently? He said, look, Conor Benn could be the next pound-for-pound star, but maybe Eddie needs to kind of just let him off the leash a bit. And, like, you know, when I was coming through and he mentioned a few names, I took the risk with Marcus Maidana. And it's interesting, Amir Khan did take those risks, didn't he, throughout his career. Some good, some bad, but he took risks nonetheless.
Look what a terror. You only have to compare what Maidana did in the first six rounds of his first fight with Floyd Mayweather. Gave him hell on the ropes six rounds. To see what Amir Khan went through. He was brilliant at that stage. I was there live on that night. And the 10th or 11th round, Maidana hits him in about 35 shots. And he still survived. He stayed on his feet, showed his cojones. He was still bleeding, peeing blood the next day, as he was against Terence Crawford. The absolute warrior. And a guy who I will, whose career I will always treasure, that I followed it from beginning to end. Absolute pleasure.
Nothing will shock me. Nothing at all. Ruiz AJ shocked me. I still have nightmares about Ruiz AJ. I promise you I do. But I remember exactly where I was, and no doubt you might have been ringside when Bradus Prescott knocked out Amir Khan. I remember I was at a nightclub called Faces in Gants Hill, and it started reverberating around the nightclub. Obviously, Amir Khan was a superstar, and it was, Amir Khan's been knocked out. Amir Khan's been. I was like, whatever.
I know.
And when I went home and watched it, still to this day, it's one of the biggest shocks to me. Obviously, no one done their due diligence on Bradus Prescott, because that's what he does to people. Yeah, but it was the biggest shock.
But if you remember, Amir had changed trainers for that fight.
Yes.
He went tearing out in a straight line right into Bradus Prescott. He could have outboxed the guy easily. I was actually sitting in a bar in Barbados that day, watching it with Ron Lewis, who was with the Times at the time, because we were on a press junket to the newly opened ground in Barbados at the beginning of the World Cup, where I was interviewing, I think, Wes Hall and Viv Richards on that trip. But it was a complete shock to the system. I remember our mouths wide open. Yeah. Learning that
he'd
lost.
Frank Warren ringside, like, nearly having a heart attack. Yeah. Like, what is this?
Yeah, but he ran straight out, didn't he? Yeah. In a straight line at Bradus Prescott. He didn't do that again.
He learned from it. He really did. All right, you are listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to give you our own version of the Pound for Pound list in response to the latest one by The Ring magazine. But next up, we're going to hear from Joshua Boazzi ahead of his clash with Craig Richards this weekend.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You know, good reception about it, which is good. Good opponent. Let's see how it folds up.
It's over. What a win for Craig Spider Richards. He has been waiting patiently, and he delivers the performance of his career.
Welcome back to Final Extra. Myself, Adi Oladipo, Gareth A. Davis. Huge domestic fight this weekend in the O2. Joshua Boazzi takes on Craig Richards. Let's hear from Joshua Boazzi now. He spoke with Gareth A. Davis and was asked just how big this fight is.
There's been a good reception about it, which is good. But yeah, I think it's an opponent that people are like, yeah, good opponent. Boazzi, good opponent. Let's see how it folds up. So I'm looking forward to it, Gareth, you know. It's a good challenge and I'm open to challenges, so it'll be a good scrap.
And the other thing about it is, since the weekend, Craig's performance against Bivol is in more perspective. I spoke to Craig about that probably a week and a half ago, going into the Bivol-Canelo fight. And, you know, he put up a pretty good show against Bivol, kind of an early chance for a world title. We know what you can do. We know that we're highly critical of you. It's so incredible. I find myself being highly critical of you, and yet you haven't put a foot wrong. It's quite interesting, isn't it? We have very high expectations of you. You must feel that from everyone.
No, there's high expectations everywhere, Gareth, and there's pressure, but I've always said that the pressure from the outside is not greater than the one that I put on myself. So I end up controlling the pressures. And I think even in the face of his spider, I was saying that the media stuff, I log out of it. I might see what a few are saying, but for what the masses are saying, it's irrelevant, you know? And that's how I managed to stay in my own lane, keep my sanity, do what I got to do and live my normal life. You know, it's cool, like, it's nice, you know? But yeah, there's expectations everywhere, but keep winning, keep putting my foot at the right places. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, for one's own, like you say, sanity or mental health, as they call it, mental well-being these days, you just don't want this strain, this super highway of, you know, from idiocy to clever views on it all. It just doesn't do anything, does it, at the end of the day? It doesn't do anything, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to stay in your own lane, Gareth, and they say, stay in your own lane, there's no traffic. Why? Because you know. You just breeze through or you cruise, isn't it? But yeah, man, nah, it's a big fight that I'm looking forward to. An important fight, as I've said many times now. And we're just over a week away, so we're almost there.
Have you got to be busier than you usually are? Have you got to be the best Joshua Boatse? Have you got to take it to him? I mean, the styles is a very interesting matchup. You're both very languid in the way you fight. You both have gears. You're both big men at 175 and naturally big men who are not boiling down in weight. He might have to boil a little bit more than you, I think, maybe a little bit, but it's so intriguing. That's what's so great about it. And, you know, it's just fascinating from a purist perspective. It's a fascinating fight.
Yeah, I mean, to answer that, you're right. There's so many questions. What style do I come out with? What style does he come out with? Am I going to box? Is he going to box? Yeah. Is he going to fight? And I think that's why we all love boxing, because we can make all these assumptions, but we never know till the bell goes. But as I say, Gareth, whatever style I need to present to win, that's what I'm going to have to do. You know, and I've covered all kinds of styles, but, you know, I know what I have to do to win, you know, and I've prepared very hard for it. And on 21st, that's what we look to do, to make sure we get the win.
The unbeaten Joshua Boatse there, speaking to Gareth A. Davis earlier in the week. You know, it's interesting what you said there, Gareth, about everyone being highly critical of Boatse, and you even admitted that yourself that you are. I am as well. Maybe just because I expected... I don't know what I expected, actually. I, coming off the Olympics and, you know, watching his first few fights, I had thought he would be a world champion or at least fighting for world titles now.
The thing is about, he's so talented, he's so tough, he's so the right weight at 175 pounds. He has to cut so little weight, he stays on weight, he lives so well. But it's just been a very slow career. Mm. And like you say, he hasn't put a foot wrong. And yet, we find ourselves wanting so much from him that it's hard not to be critical of him. This is... The benchmark test for him, I think. And I think he'll come through it. He always finds a way to win. And I think because we think that about Boatse, it's going to get the best out of him. And I do think it's time for him to have these really big fights now. I think Richards is a really big fight for him.
Yeah, Richards is. And Richards' stock's gone up without him having to do anything in the last week just because of that Bivol performance against Canelo. Bivol looked fantastic. And we rewind, you know, our minds back a year and a bit ago when Bivol fought Craig Richards. And Craig Richards, you know, caused Bivol some problems. So surely, I mean, if Richards needed that extra bit of confidence going into the, you know, what is, I think, even though he fought for a world title, the biggest fight of his career this Saturday, surely he gives him the extra 5% maybe he might need to get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's less jeopardy. I think before Dimitri Bivol and Saul Canelo Alvarez fought. They were, you know, Eddie Hearn had put it out there. Eddie Hearn had put it out there that the winner of this could well fight Canelo in the UK in December, maybe at an O2 arena or an indoor arena like Cardiff, if it was big enough. And we don't know if that fight's on now. And we haven't really discussed this at length, but and we don't know yet what's going to happen, whether Canelo will fight Bivol at 168 pounds just for the WBA title at 168 pounds, because the three other sanctioning bodies have still got sanctions in place against Russian and Belarusian boxers because of the Russian invasion, Putin invasion of Ukraine. I think Canelo will ultimately decide that he'll face some Golovkin next, because it's such a massive fight in Las Vegas. I think that fight will come off. And then he may fancy a fight with a Craig Richards or a Joshua Buatsi in the UK. Certainly due a British fight, and Eddie Hearn's working on that. But still a massive fight for both men, because Joshua Buatsi wins this and there'll be an appetite for him to meet maybe Anthony Yard. Yeah, I think so. I think Yard is the right guy next. And, you know, as you rightly mentioned earlier on in the show, and, you know, when we're talking about undisputed champions, you know, it looks like the light heavyweight division will have an undisputed champion by the end of the year as well. I mean, you know, Bivol should really face the winner of Beterbiev and Joe Smith, Artur Beterbiev and Joe Smith, who are due to fight soon. So, you know, it's there's a lot of jeopardy. There's a lot of opportunities. But I think while that world level scenario is playing out, these British guys are going to sort out a pecking order. And this is the first of those big fights. And it is really big. It's big domestically. And it will grow as the week goes on. It hasn't resonated in the massive sports world that we have, the landscape. You know, the Premier League's coming to a close at the moment, isn't it? The football, you know, with the final games. And so all the focus is on that. But I think it's a good weekend to have it. I think it'll be an amazing atmosphere in there in the O2 Arena on Saturday night.
Yeah, it goes on to show how big the light heavyweight division is, or how deep it is, where normally this would be a case of, okay, the winner of this is number one in the division. But they won't be. They won't be. Because you mentioned Anthony Yard. You have to chuck Callum Johnson in there. Yeah. Dan Aziz always gets annoyed when his name's not brought up. And Callum Smith's in a division. And I'm upset that Anthony Yard won't be ringside for it. I know he's in Jamaica at the moment, so he's definitely not going to fly back from Jamaica to London, is he, for this? But I'd love to have seen him ringside. And although it's difficult to make fights between Frank and Eddie, it's a fight where, for me, Anthony Yard has to take on the winner. I really want to see who the number one is. And if it's Buatsi, that's a fight we've been talking about for the best part of 3-4 years now. Who is number one, Yard or Buatsi? And Yard's coming off that really good win against Lyndon Arthur. And I think you were there ringside for that. I was just behind you, nicking a few of your chocolates and sweets. So I want to see it desperately, Yard versus Buatsi.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we haven't talked about today is how we think this fight's going to play out on Saturday night. And I think... I think Richards is going to have to press the action to get the victory, because I think Buatsi is one of those guys that warms up into a fight. He's got a very strong jab, a very strong right hand. He can stand with his opponent. I think Richards has got to be very smart in this fight and win it with the jab, long, fast jab. I think he's got longer punches generally than Joshua. It's a really clever fight.
He needs to start fast as well as Richards. I've accused him of being a bit too relaxed.
I agree. Get the jab out, snap the jab out, get ahead in the early rounds, because, you know, I think it could go a lot of ways. I think these two could well go into the trenches, and I think the last four rounds are going to be really telling. I think it might be very close at the halfway mark. We could be wrong here, and one of them could completely outbox the other, but I just think there's so much at stake. They're both really reaching maturity in their careers that it's just going to, I don't know, just the appetite for it. I just do not know. It could go so many of like five or six different ways, this fight. And it's hard to call. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard you say today, but I just think Buatsi's going to nick this and show he he's got a little bit more in those championship rounds.
Yeah, I've said for a long time, and I know that Boetsy's upset with me when I've said other things, but I've always said I think Boetsy's the best light heavyweight in this country. There's just something about him. He's almost a throwback fighter. Doesn't cut his beard off until fight night. He hides away from social media. He doesn't like to give anything away. And then when he comes, he's Mr. Serious. And I think he's going to separate himself from Craig Richards in the later rounds. I just think he's just a level above. And that's not digging Richards. I think Richards is a fantastic fighter as well. I just think Boetsy might just be a bit of a special fighter. And I still do think that. And I know some people always criticize me because, oh, what's he done? What's he done? I just think now the training camps with Virgil Hunter, although Virgil Hunter's mind would have been on Tony Yoke on the weekend, but I think all the training camps with Virgil Hunter, hopefully we see a prime Boetsy that's then ready to go to genuine world level. So I'm with you. I think I'm picking Boetsy to win this one, but it won't be easy. Won't be easy at all.
Yeah, like he says, though, he knows how to... Yeah, but I like to say, I think he knows how to stay in his own lane. And that's a great quality. He's got such mental strength. That's what comes out from him so strongly.
Indeed. Almost like he's had a conversation with Andre Ward, very similar in the way in which they think. And it wouldn't be
surprising.
They
haven't, though, you know. No, I asked him in that interview whether he's... I think it's a great combination with Virgil Hunter, by the way. But he hasn't seen Andre Ward at all in this camp. And I was wondering if he had.
Interesting.
He's just been with Virgil, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. All right, you are listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we're going to give you our very own version of the Pound for Pound list in response to the latest one by The Ring magazine and everyone. Everyone's been doing them. So up next, it's Fighter Extra, Pound for Pound list.
Huge right hand from Canelo, and Khan just about knocked cold.
I love a bit of this. I love pound for pound rankings just because no one knows what they really mean anymore. Just a bit of fun. Who are the best 10 fighters on the planet? It's not really pound for pound, is it, anymore? It's Fighter Extra, myself, Adi Oladipo, Gareth A. Davis as well. Ring Magazine have done their list. They're probably going to need to update it with Jermell Charlo's win on the weekend. I'm going to quickly run through their 1 to 10 and get Gareth's view on it and see if there are any changes we'll make. Number 1, Alexander Usyk. Number 2, Terence Crawford. Number 3, Inoue, rightly so. I think he's fantastic. Number 4, Errol Spence. Number 5, Juan Francisco Estrada, coming off a controversial, I thought, win over Chocolatito. Number 6, Canelo, drops from number 1 to number 6 after a defeat. Number 7, Loma, still there. Dimitri Bivol has now entered the top 10. I don't know where he was before. Number 9, Josh Taylor. And number 10, you just heard me mention him, Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez. Gareth, talk to me.
Well, two of those guys there, I don't have in my list, actually, because I think there's two glaring omissions, even though I write a column for the Ring magazine. There's two glaring omissions. And for me, the two guys missing from that list,
this is interesting,
Addy, are Shakur Stevenson.
Ooh.
who should definitely be in there after being a two-weight world champion, unified world champion, who will clean up at super featherweight, in my view. Mm. We may even get him facing Joe Cordina if Joe beats Kenichi Ogawa in a couple of weeks' time in Cardiff.
Yep.
That Valdez victory was an amazing performance. Shakur, two-weight division champion, and so unified, undefeated, and Tyson Fury missing from that list as well.
Okay.
So I am dropping Juan Estrada and Roman Gonzalez from the list.
My
number one now is Crawford, right?
Yeah.
Terence Crawford, three-weight division champion, probably the best welterweight out there. He may get beaten by Errol Spence when they meet. I've put Bivol in at 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Because he does deserve to go in there after that amazing performance, 20-0, of course, as a light heavyweight now. I've got Stevenson at 9.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Saul Canelo Alvarez. I'm just dropping him one place to 2. Okay.
Mm.
I've got Usyk at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Noyo Inui rightly at four, mm-hmm. Errol Spence at five. I've got Fury at six for what he's achieved. Josh Taylor at seven and Lomachenko at eight. And as I mentioned, Stevenson at nine and Bivol at 10. What have you got then? That's where I am with it.
That's interesting. And I like your list. I do like your list. And I will agree with the Shakur Stevenson bit. I have to be honest with you. He didn't make my list. but I can't disagree. Like, he's probably 11. I probably have him at 11. So I with you, though, have got rid of Estrada. Not Estrada, Chocolatito. Apologies.
Yeah.
Chocolatito.
But those two easily sit in my 11, 12, 13.
Yeah.
Gonzalez and Chocolatito Gonzalez and Juan Estrada easily in the top 15. So they're just behind.
Can I ask you a question about the light heavies?
Yeah.
You've got Bivol in there, but not Poturbiev.
Yeah, well, Poturbiev, I'm not sure.
Two belt holder, double belt holder, unbeaten, knocking out everyone.
Yeah.
Has Bivol done more than him at light heavy to be in there?
At the moment, I think Bivol will outbox him. I really do. I think he'll keep him behind the jab, and I think he'll beat him on points. Yeah. I think Poturbiev is a limited kind of boxer, incredibly tough, but he's fairly one or two dimensional, whereas I think Bivol has greater dimensions to his game, and I think we're going to see them when he's up against someone like Poturbiev. Of course, if Poturbiev beats Joe Smith, which I think he will.
Yeah.
But I just think we've seen Bivol's moved into that top 10 for that victory over Canelo, just as Canelo's moved down one in my view, because I think if you look at, you know, the imperfections of his performances, we haven't seen really much imperfection from Terence Crawford. So I think he's my number one at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. My number one is Alexander Usyk. He is my number one.
Fair enough.
Usyk's fair number enough. One. I've got number two as Canelo. I've still got Canelo. That's fair enough.
I've
two.
Got Canelo at two. I've got Canelo at two. Yeah,
I feel like it's unfair. Like, well, people, can you have a word of your ring colleagues? How have they dropped him to number six after one defeat like that? I mean, one defeat since what, 2013? It's a bit harsh.
I know. It is harsh, and he's ultimately vastly challenging himself to get up there and have these kind of fights. But they are very tough. It's a bit like there was a time, you know, Josh Taylor was moved from 9 to 5 at one point, wasn't he? With performances, should Josh Taylor have dropped down after really what we consider a loss.
Jack
Catterall, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know what's crazy about Canelo as well? Time's going, we've got to go now, actually. But what's crazy about Canelo, you mentioned that he is really going way above his weight class. Having been close to him for the first time, like really shoulder to shoulder, I've seen 154 pounders bigger than him.
Oh, yeah.
Like I've been next to Liam Smith. Liam Smith looks bigger than him. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, look, he's 5'8" in his trainers, basically.
yeah, and they've got a big heel to them, those D&G fancy trainers. So I've got 1, 2, 3. Crawford is number 3. Inoue number 4. I've got Errol Spence number 5.
Fair enough.
I've got Errol Spence number 5. Loma number 6.
Well, fair enough.
I love him.
Yeah.
I absolutely love him. Fury number 7.
Good.
Yeah. This might shock a few people here now. Gennady Golovkin, number 8.
Fair enough.
Josh Taylor, number 9. Poturbiev, number 10.
Yeah, I would. I think that's fair. And, you know, the other ones you haven't mentioned there are probably in your 10 to 15.
They are. Shakur Stevenson there. Yeah.
Yeah. The Estradas, the Chocolatitos, they're all in that list. Like you say, it's mythical. It's opinions. It's... You know, and what happens is we don't put the heavier weights in enough in the pound for pound list because we tend to think, God, look what these little guys can do. They're so fast. They can go all these rounds. They can, you know, the heavier the weight, the less they feature in the pound for pound list. That's just the way it's always been.
Very quickly, Gareth. Our wonderful producer, Jeremy, just shouted out a name to me here. Does he make your 15, George Kambosos?
If he beats Devin Haney, he's definitely in the top 15.
So he's out of the 15 now, okay.
At the moment, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, no, fair enough. I think that's fair.
But what a fight that's going
to
be.
Mate, honestly, if I could get to Australia for that one, in that Marvel Stadium, I would be for that. That's going to be an absolutely barnstormer of a fight. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.